Hello and welcome to the Tales from the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Sam, and I'm joined by two new co-hosts. We'll start with Katie Mahoney. How are you, Katie?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Hanging in there. And And we've also got Mitch Ryan returning to the podcast. How are you, Mitch?
I am excellent. Happy to be back. Happy to have another chinwag about running. A little bit more regular.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got your wish and you've finally made it as a regular on the podcast.
Dreams do come true, kids.
Yeah, so I guess this is a little different for our listeners, what we've been doing for the past, I guess, two or three months. But we just wanted to do something a little bit more regular on a weekly basis so we can, you know, provide some consistency and perhaps start to iron out a couple of segments to bring a little bit of awareness to the various groups. We'll try and lock down some partners that we can work with on the podcast as well, because we're all about promoting good gear and obviously cafe approved kits for when you finish up your runs on the weekend.
Shout out Josh Engels.
Yeah, Josh Engels. Josh 20 may or may not work at every single running apparel store in Australia. So try any luck. Yeah, but so I guess for the foreseeable future, the three of us will we'll try our best to recap everything that's going on in the South Coast running community, and we'll go through our own personal training and goals as well. Firstly, we've got Mitch, who's going to run through the Fitness 5 event, which he was pretty instrumental in organising a couple of weeks. And Katie, I believe you ran in that event as well.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so so we can get a couple of perspectives there. We can get Mitch to provide the formal results and everything that went down on the day, and Katie can, give him a bit of a course recap as well, because I hear it was a little bit hilly and there was a bit of wind, but it'd be interesting to hear how brutal that was. But we'll start with Mitch, if you want to run us through the event.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know I was on the podcast previously and it's format talking about Fitness 5, but for those that didn't catch it or didn't listen to that particular episode, basically this fun run's been going for 32 years. It was a 32nd iteration this year, created by Kemba Joggers, a local club down here in Wollongong, and it used to be one of the biggest events on the New South Wales road running calendar. 5k, they added a 10k in a little bit later on, and then COVID and some other factors limited that race, and it stopped during COVID, and then it went off the road onto Kemba Joggers' purpose-built, I guess, or purpose-maintained cross-country course, and really lost its luster and appeal. Went from like an 800-person event down to a 50-person just club event. So I had a bit of a conversation with Ben Scholery, the Kemba Joggers club president, and we ended up teaming up with Elite Energy, who run a host of events like basically in South Coast and all over the place. And we got the event back this year in a pretty big way, once again on the roads, and managed to get ourselves a $10,500 prize pool with that too. So worked heavily in organizing that, but my sole focus, for myself at least, was in the elite athlete space, trying to get some good quality talent to come to Wollongong and race once more. And it went pretty well. So we had some high caliber athletes, and I'm pretty actually stoked at the elite turnout that we had. And the results from that, I'll go through the top five. We're in the top six for women, because actually we're going to go top seven because Katie can't.
Top seven.
So yeah, top seven. And I'll throw some times out there, but I'll have it known that this course isn't a flat, fast racing course. It is a racing course. I'd say there's three hills in total. There's one going out on Cliff Road towards the Novotel. Then you come back up that one again, and then you do the little kicker at the lighthouse in the up clockwise direction. And on the day, it was cold, it was windy. And from what I was told by the guys on the course is that when you came up that hill at the lighthouse, it just smashed you in the face. So these are some really solid times given that. So Katie was seventh in 17:29. And then fifth and sixth place was super close. We're at 16:50 for both fifth and sixth. And that was Stephanie Kelly in sixth and Lauren Reed in fifth. Eloise Welling reached out about a day or two before the event after we dropped the elite start list. She came down and she came fourth. That was 16:42 for Eloise. So unreal to have her there. She's multiple time Olympian, great athlete, just, yeah, inspiring. And it was on for all for second and third too. So this was a great finish. So we had our Jayla Hancock Cameron stepping up from her 800s and 1500s. She came out in third in 16:20, closed down by a super fast finishing Zoe Buckman, again, Australian Olympian. She ran 16:19, so only a second separating those two. But this run here for first place was by far and away the absolute run of the day. And it was Leanne Pompiani. She ran 15:32 on that course. An absolutely tremendous run. Everybody was kind of pretty impressed with that. So yeah, the women did great and the men equally. So our top five for the men was Leo Peterson in 14:49. And in terms of racing, and when you think of designing a race and what you want the spectators, this was perfect. At about 400, 500 meters to go, there were four gents in the race still. And it was actually Luke Hintz, one of our WTC members, had a funny conversation with myself after this race. It was Luke, Harry McGill, Stefan Music, and Tom DeCano in a pack. Now, Stefan Music is pretty much a 1500/miler. Like, he's the guy that you would think would have a kick out of all of them. And then there's Tommy DeCano, who was lining up the Ballarat the very next week. And the four of them went into this together, like side by side. And the guy that was meant to have a kick didn't have one in the end. Stefan pulled up in fourth. The 14:34 on that course. Harry McGill was our other one, 14:30 for third. Luke Hintz closing when I thought he was off. I thought he was done. I thought that the other three were pulling away from him, but he closed it back down, 14:28. And then Tommy DeCano, my favorite runner in all of Australia, 14:27 coming in first. So I was, yeah, absolutely stoked with that. And the whole day went unreal. We got some good footage from Liam and Tom from Teal Studios. Presentation, as corny as it was, with the champagne and whatnot, the novelty checks, it was a bit of fun. And as I thought it was a really great atmosphere within that elite space, and I think the event is going to be on the rise and rise in the future.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and I guess Tommy got some business class flights and a five-star hotel for to win another $6,000 the following week.
Yeah, he took what, $8,500 in 2 weeks?
Yeah, not bad.
Not a bad
gig. Not bad at all. Yeah, your coach Gary better, I think they said this on the Inside Running podcast, but he needs to get a commission check or something there. Yeah. Well, Katie, it'd be good to hear about your racing experience. I guess it's good to have someone who organized the event and then someone who raced it on the same call as well. So tell us about your experience.
Yeah. It was great. Mitch did a great job planning everything. Everything was super organized. The course, I'm like forever a track person. So any sort of hill, especially on like a 5K, I'm like not a big fan. So the hills and the wind, especially how Mitch was saying, like when we were going up towards the lighthouse, I think I looked down and I was like running maybe like 5 minute kilometer. So that didn't really help my 5K time, as you can imagine. But it was super fun. And then I loved how like it had like the roundabout at the end and it was kind of like a finishing stretch. It was awesome. Great course. If there was no wind, I think it would have been a lot better. But like, what can you do? So yeah, it was great.
I'll hit it up next year for you. I'll put an order in early for the wind.
Yeah, thank you. A bit of sun would be nice. But Mitch did a great job. I think everything's great. I stocked up on some gels afterwards in the elite tent. No mistake, yeah, nice. So, you know.
What kind of gels?
They were like the...
Oh, good.
The goo, sure. They were like the goo Roctane ones.
Yeah, Tons got them.
Yeah.
Getting a shout out in every single podcast.
Yeah, Tons probably got them off for us.
Yeah, probably.
Now I have them, so, yep.
Yeah, nice one. Well done. Cool, well... Yeah, good that we got to get that recap done. And next we move on to training weeks, and I might just quickly again give more of an injury update than a training week. Still dealing with the shin, just taking it very carefully at the moment. I think probably the 4K for the photo shoot with Liam last week didn't help.
No,
Like, no, nothing too bad, but you know, you think, oh, photo shoot will be all right. It'll just be a couple of strides and stuff, but yeah, ended up being about a full 4K or so, on my watch. So, but anyway, no complaints there. Worth another week of having the niggle, I guess.
How many weeks has it been bothering you?
Well, it's almost been 2 months, but it's been like that's included a race that I shouldn't have done, and yeah, me virtually trying to get like fit enough to do the half at Christchurch, which didn't happen. Yeah. So yeah, I'm like properly trying to recover now, and I'm not gonna try anything until there's zero awareness there. It's like some days it feels like there is zero awareness, but like I can still feel the muscles in the shin pulling a little bit. So I'm gonna get some dry needling this week, see if it's not like a little bit of compartment syndrome or something where it's just a bit of discomfort down there at the moment. But yeah, just try and be sensible, do icing and whatnot. But yeah, I spent $3,000 on a bike and a Swift setup on the weekend. So I bought a track bike and a Wahoo Kicker Snap, I think they're called. So I rode over 300 Ks last week. So yeah, trying to do about 90 minutes a day on the bike, and that'll include workouts and hilly routes and stuff like that. So yeah, let's see how the fitness trend.
You need to get out with Liam and Dune and Hanno and all that.
Yeah, I'm down in Bega at the moment, so it's
of course.
Yeah, it's kind of just like having something there to do, really, that's not the elliptical. Yeah, no, like it's good for my routine as well. Like I don't have to go out and do anything before work. Yeah, so just trying to get the 90 minutes a day done, doing some upper body stuff in the gym just to stay sane. Just give me some fitness purpose. So I might come back looking like Nick Bear or something, Katie.
Trepidaria, you'd be right.
Yeah,
hopefully.
But become a hybrid athlete.
Yeah, Alex Bowie, shout out.
Start a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'd make fun of that, but I already have a podcast, so so I can't make too much of the content creators. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, that's all of me. I've got my Toby set for my back to running program. Should be like, you know, starting with 10 by 30 seconds run, 30 seconds walk, and then just, yeah, small running intervals like that. So, yeah, hopefully I can talk about that next week, but I won't be rushing it if I'm not right to go as well. Just going to take my time with this one. Which means I'm not really picking out any races or anything at the moment. I'm just going to wait till I'm back and starting to get fit again before I decide what I want to do. Yeah. So yeah, pretty boring and bleak start to our training weeks. But yeah, Katie, you raced on the weekend, so I might let you go last. Bit of a drum roll, and yeah, we'll go over to Mitch.
Yeah. So I am getting back into life again. Training. I mean, it got brought up heaps before. I was meant to do Canberra Marathon. I didn't do it. I got the flu. And I spent probably the last, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's been 6 weeks since that. And I'm starting to feel relatively fresh. So I got through, well, actually that Sunday, Sam and Kay, where we did that shoot, I was meant to go out for 2 hours straight after that. And I did not make it that far at all. I think I did like 76 minutes. I was absolutely cooked and fried. So that wasn't great. Went home and just slept. But otherwise, I went through a pretty regular week. I actually had one of two really good sessions this week. One was Tuesday at the track, and I worked out with Charl. It was probably one of the toughest sessions I've done in quite a long time. So the way it worked, it was 2x1K off 90 seconds, and then 2 minutes rest after those, and then 10x400 at 30 seconds rest. And then 2 minutes rest after all those. And then another 2x1K at 90 seconds. And those K reps were meant to be at 315s. I think we went 317, 316. And then the second set of them, we went 317, 314. And then the quarters didn't have a set pace, but I think we worked somewhere around 77s. But that 30-second rest was just so short.
Yeah,
it was like,
that's pretty hard.
Yeah, walk back to the line and then go again. So probably do that a little bit easier. But yeah, it was tough. It was great. It was, yeah, an unreal workout. And then work got in the way of life. I was meant to do a Saturday session, ended up doing, I was going to do it with Charles on Saturday. And then I was going to do it Friday morning with Charles again and meet up with Frosty Miles and Josh. But then I had to go to work instead and do this. So I had a 16K tempo, which I did solo at work. We got a pretty much 5K road that's slightly undulating per lap. And I just jumped out there and did 16K at 3:45s, three and a bit laps. And it was great, except I completely blew out my pair of Adios Pros. So I'm gutted. There was hanging in, but they are completely dead. I think like the lower bit of foam, because there's two pieces of foam, the one that's near the upper and the one that's where the carbon rods for the Adidas use rods instead of plates sit between, and that bottom one's hanging on by about 2 centimeters worth of glue or whatever they're using. So that's cooked, that's done. But yeah, I was pretty stoked with that workout. Had to reshuffle the week, got 90 done on the Saturday. Met up with Frosty, and then on Sunday it was absolutely flogging rain. It was a little bit windy, and just got a longie done for the first time in a while, where I actually felt good. Threw down just shy of 27k, like 4:30s. Met up with a whole bunch of people. I think like it was Stefan, Isaac and Nathaniel ran north from Wollongong. And so Frosty, myself, Tons, Miles, and Brendan all ran, and Charles as well, all ran south to meet them. And then we'll just kind of run them back and forth between Winoona to, I think we met them, geez, I don't even know where. Yeah, around Bulambia, I reckon. And then just back up to like kind of Sandon Point and back and forth. But yeah, ended up being a good week for me. It was 118K, so rise. And that's with a rest day too. So I reckon this week I might be able to get through 7 days of running and not take a rest day, but I'm not against it at the moment. I'm just, the body's still not adapted completely to hard efforts. So I'll pretty tired today. I'll be get a session done tomorrow and see how I recover from that. And if I need the rest, then I'll take it. Otherwise, we're in back into full swing.
Yeah, I mean, that Tuesday session is pretty monstrous by the sounds of it. And then 16K tempo. What's kind of the plan for you at the moment?
No idea. I just want to get fit. I'm going to do Sydney 10. That's in like 2 weeks. No expectations. Don't care. To me, it's a bit of a rust buster. I'll only do like a little half pay before it, so I don't want to interrupt too much. Like to the point I'm going to do a 2-hour long run the day after it on the Monday. Like that's how much like I'm really not going to be going flat stick at it, I reckon. Beyond that, I've only really eyed off 2 or 3 races. Like I'll do Wollongong Running Festival at the start of June to get behind that. I'll do the half marathon there. City to surf, but I'm going to Spain for a couple of weeks and it's about, I think, 6 or 7 days after I get back from Spain. And as much as I know I will run while I'm in Spain, there'll also be a lot of beer and food and there won't be as much focus on running. So, again, just do that because it's an unreal event and I haven't done it for... I mean, I haven't done it since I think I ran my PB back in, like, 2008.
And the course is longer now, isn't it?
That's 14K. Come on. This has always been the same.
Oh, you're talking Sydney Surf.
Sydney Surf. Yeah,
not Sydney. I'm talking Sydney 10.
Well, that too. I know. I've been doing Sydney 10 every single year, but my PB is also from like 2009 there too.
Yeah.
But no, once Sydney Surf is done, it'll be all systems go into Sydney Marathon. And that'll be hopefully my debut if I can stay healthy and fit.
Yep.
Nice.
Very good.
How long did your Adidas shoes last you?
I can tell you actually, because I track all my shoes. I can tell you exactly how many Ks I got into them. 271K. And that was all racing bar one long run session, which I think I did about 39K as a long run session right before Canberra.
Nice. Is that normal?
I mean, I feel like that's short-lived because I've had Vaporflies before that I've worn a 600 or 700K and like that was okay. So I feel like that's not great.
Yeah.
They've also, to me, like they've been worth the, I mean, I got them for like $100. Liam Manson got them for me when he was working at Rebel at Miranda. And they were just sitting at the back and he found them and they had a sale sticker on them and he got a staff discount on top of it too. So
I remember the day he got them for you.
Yeah.
It was the day we both won the beer mall. Yeah, I remember talking a bit to you about it at the pub.
Yeah, you brought them to the pub.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And, in terms of the discount price and the discount kilometers, they've been worth it. And I rate them way higher than any other carbon plated shoe I've worn. They are so good. I love them. They're a little less stable than others, but just that that roll from that forefoot to midfoot to toe is incredible. And even at the end of their life now, when that foam's all cooked up, I can still put them on and I'll walk and I'm still feeling like they're reasonably fresh. Like, yeah, highly, highly recommend them. If you don't like that aggressive kind of plate and roll, then they're probably not going to be for you. But if you do like that, then yeah, they are epic. So good.
What's the foam? Is it that Light Strike Pro or something like that they call it?
Yeah, Light Strike Pro, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite snappy, right? Like,
snappy as.
Yeah. Nah, I used to have a pair of Adidas shoes that were just trainers. I forget which ones they were, but they were pretty fun. Like, pretty like super responsive compared to other phones, I think.
Yeah. Well, I've also worn the Takumi Sens, and that's their 5 to 10K race shoe. And I love those for track sessions and like short other sessions on like the road. Like, they're unreal. I think Adidas have absolutely nailed their race shoe. So I also wear the Adidas spikes too. The what do they call it? The Adi Zero Advanti. And I just think, yeah, Adidas have nailed their race shoes, but their mileage shoes are pretty average. Like the, I don't even know what they call them, actually. Ultra Boosts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're average.
Oh, chair almost broke. their foam's like quite snappy, as we were just saying, right? So they probably don't have like a super soft foam or something that's a bit duller for mileage.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure because I haven't got into them. I've read reviews and they've never come out great. And yeah, I've just always avoided them. I mean, it's hard for me to say that they haven't nailed it when I've never worn them. But
yeah,
I do a lot of research on my shoes before I buy them. And I've always wanted to avoid them.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, they're never popping up on like you see what shoes are good for shin splints or Achilles or whatever. They're never stable enough or, you know, a safe enough shoe to pop up on those lists, for sure. Yeah, very good. Well, shout out to Adidas, apparently.
For racing shoes.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Over to you, Katie. Why don't you walk us through your training week before we get into
all right, do I start with, like, sorry?
Oh,
you want me to start with, like, last week?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so on that Sunday, I did a long run and I just had 8x2 minute pickups, like in the middle of it. That was before I met you guys for the photo shoot.
Yeah.
And that was why I was a little bit late. You see? But yeah, so just I probably did like 5 or 6K warm up and then just did 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off times eight. And that was like kind of goal, half marathon, like threshold pace.
Yep.
Yeah, so felt all right for that. And then we ran 4K for the photo shoot, which I need to learn.
Yeah.
But my long run, that one was just like, how was it? Just under 20K. So, mm-hmm. Yep. And then I always take the Monday off after a long run. I have been recently.
Okay.
And I just did a yoga class and then just some like at home weights and like glute activation stuff. And then the Tuesday, I just did a 10K up at Morrison Ave, so it's kind of like a cruisy little road above Wambara. And yeah, I guess I did 11K with strides. And then the Wednesday, I was going to go to the track at Sylvania Waters, but they had like the little A's on, so I had to find another path. Love that. And went to like just, what is it, Willoware Bay. They have this sort of really nice flat path that just lines it. Drove around Tarrant Point, found a park, and just sort of did my workout there. But it was just 3 by a mile, 60 seconds off, and then 2 by 8 off 90, and then 4 by 4 off 90. Super windy, so I just kind of did the best I could. But the miles were meant to be sort of like threshy pace, and I went like between 333 and 338 for those miles. Yeah, give or take. And then the 8s were just meant to be a little bit quicker, more 10K race pace, and then the 4 is like 5K race pace. So yeah. And then afterwards, I went to the gym and did weights, proper weights, not just my little Nike videos. Funny story. The guy who coaches me, he was like, my last time I was on the podcast, he listened to it and he's like, oh, so I heard you were doing the right weights.
Yeah. I was about to ask.
I know. And so I'm actually going to him. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, the Nike videos are really good still, but
yeah, sure.
If I have the time, I'll just go to the gym and like actually lift weights, which I've actually been really enjoying, turning into a Nick Bear type athlete, <you know? laughs> hybrid yeah. athlete. Yeah. And then the next day was that Thursday. I just did 8K with some strides, just really easy and flat. And then on Friday, I had to go in the city to pick up my racing bib for the race on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was like torrential downpour, whatever. But I ran around the bay. So just like parked in like Roselle area and then ran around the bay. And then for that one, I just had like 8K with the last 3 minutes. Threshold pace and then some strides at the end. Felt pretty average for that one. And then yeah, went to the city, picked up my bib and everything, and then got caught in absolute downpour there. So that was fun. And then on the Saturday, I just did 6.5K easy with some strides at the end as well. And yeah, and so then on the Sunday, I had the Sydney, the Hoka Half.
Before you jump into your race, just curious, how do you go about getting a gym program? And what are you doing in there?
My coach gives me sort of this like rough outline of it, but I figure because I'm driving all the way there, I go to a gym that's in Caringbah, so it's quite a drive. That's why I always go to the track in Sylvania Waters, just because it's kind of close. Funny story, a couple years back, I did this little challenge at the gym. And it was like, whoever could run the fastest 800 meters on the treadmill wins a free lifetime membership. And so I did that. And then
you stitched him up.
Stitched him up.
Yeah, good.
And the gym I was going to, like the branch was like out in Liverpool. And I'm not really sure how many people are serious about like running out there. So yeah, got a free lifetime membership. So that was pretty cool.
What was the 800 in?
I think it was like 226 or something.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy, but you know, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, no, no one else in the gym's running at 220.
No one else tried actually, but
not really.
Like five people that tried, and I was like, I mean, why wouldn't I do it? You know?
Yeah.
So the gym, my coach kind of gives me this like rough outline of what I'm meant to do, and then I sort of just modify it. And because I like teach yoga, so I'm really into mobility and all that kind of stuff. So I always do that bit of abs and all that. And I always try to get better at pull-ups, kind of a skill I want to get better at. So I always try to work on that as well. Yeah, it's really fun. I'm actually really enjoying proper weights.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
Are you gonna run it past your physio, Jack?
Maybe next Jack, time. Like,
I go to him when I'm seriously injured.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, just, you know, probably stop running. And I'm like, okay, I'm probably not going to stop running, but I'll like take all these exercises.
Yeah.
I'll see you in 2 years when I'm injured again, you know?
Yeah, just tell them, no, I'm not stopping running. Because Foz will accommodate for me. I know both of them. Foz wrote, like, my gym program.
Oh, did
Yeah, for the listeners, Katie and I both go to Purpose Physio, and Mitch does not, but he lives very close to the Winoona Purpose Physio.
Yeah.
About like 500 meters away. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe you need to go in and say hi.
No, but betray Pete, one of ours.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. What do you do? Yeah, anyway. Cool. So into race morning.
Yeah, into race morning. So the race started all, I think we had to be there by 6:20, and the race started at 6:50. So I live in Sandy, Snow Park, and I just, me and my partner, we caught the train in from Waterfall, just because I know it would have been chaotic to drive in that morning. So we left here about 4:30, caught the train in, got there at like 6:10 or something, and then found the start and ran maybe like half a kilometer, and that was probably like good for me. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty like hyped up. I had 4 espresso shots, so I was feeling really good.
Nice.
And then it actually wasn't like, I was concerned that it was going to be really cold and rainy, but it actually wasn't bad at all. Yeah, it got really bad after. It rained up a little bit during it, but I don't think it really hindered the experience much. I mean, it was a bit cooler and it wasn't super humid. I mean, I guess it was humid, but it wasn't like we were sweating a lot and like, you know, all that. So conditions were fine, I think. But I had a pretty rough day. I started out pretty strong and I felt all right. I was like, I'm going to try to naked split this to make it a more enjoyable experience, because I kind of have this problem with racing recently where I just kind of go out super hard and think, especially after like a taper, that for some reason, like in the first kilometer, I'm like, what if I could like make the Olympics, you know? What if I just try to hold this pace?
I remember that at Goldie a few years ago, where I think I ran a 75, like 75.01 or something, and you would have been maybe 2 or 3 minutes behind me, but it took until about 3K for me to catch you.
Yeah, yeah. So it just happens. Like, especially if you have a good tape bar, you just feel really good, you know?
That's right.
I mean, you never know. What if I could hold this? But then I always pay for it on the back end, but whatever. So this time I was trying to be smart, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to start out really conservative, just go out, like, pretty easy, and then hopefully negative split up. And then, yeah, just never really felt good. So when I was like, oh, like, I've reached, like, the 10K mark, I should probably start, like, picking it up. It was just more like, oh, like, I'll just try to maintain, you know? And then also it was pretty hilly, to say the least. Every time there was a hill, I was just like, are you kidding me? I don't want to do another hill.
How's that observatory hill?
Sorry?
Observatory hill.
Oh.
Smashed it. It's so steep.
It sucked. And, oh, it sucks so bad. And I was, like, just running up, and some guy was there, like, that was there halfway up the hill, was like, oh, you're almost there. And I turned the corner, and I'm, like, not even close to the top of it. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not at all. So my splits for that hill part, I think I ran, like, a 408 and a 403 kilometer during that hill. So that was not fun at all. And I slowed down quite a lot, but I mean, it still was just a rough day for me. And then afterwards I was just kind of like pissed off and disappointed in myself. And so I just went straight home, didn't do anything in Sydney, just hopped on the train, got back to Stanmore Park, took a nap, and then like woke up, and then I was just like inspired, and I was like, I'm going to go do a cool down. So I ran like an 11K run or something around Stanley in the rain. Just fueled by anger, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my race. I ran a 1:21 flat.
Yep.
Nothing.
I mean, it's not,
you know, Olympic worthy, but.
Yeah, 175 meters of climbing.
Oh.
Like a half marathon course. It's quite hilly. You did this one last year, didn't you, Mitch?
Yeah, I did. I was sick. I have a thing for getting sick at this time of the year. I pump that much Sudafed, like pseudohepadrin, before I race, and it was not an enjoyable experience.
Doesn't that dehydrate you?
Yeah, probably. I just needed something because I was not in a good place anyway.
Ugh. Yeah. I hate excuses for like why I did like not as good as I wanted, but like, yeah, just.
Yeah. I mean.
Wasn't great.
What do you think? I think last time we spoke, you're thinking like around 117 low.
116 yeah, that's high. What I was hoping, but yeah.
Not on this course though, like.
I mean, it would have been nice, you know?
121's pretty good on that course. By the looks of it.
Yeah, I wasn't very happy, but it's fine. But I also was just kind of like wondering why I just like during the race like never felt that strong. And I just think I'm not running enough kilometers that I like. Like I think in the build leading up to this, I was running like an average of like maybe 100 per week, maybe 110 like at the max. No, it was like 110 at the max. And for me, I just don't really feel fit unless I'm running like 125, you know? So yeah, moving forward, I know that I'll just run a little bit more and be a little bit better off. So yeah. Plenty more opportunity.
Yeah.
And I'm running the Wollongong Running Festival. And what is that, like 3 or 4 weeks away?
Yeah, so that's 2nd of June, I think it is.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm going to do the 10K there. I was going to do the half, but I'm pretty lazy when it comes to signing up for races. So it's sold out. That's all right. I got into Sydney, luckily. I like saw the thing that was 80% sold out and then went and signed up for it. And I was like, oh my God. Because it sold out like the half hour later or something. So yeah, I'm going to try, I think, to maybe, and like today, this is the day after the half. I feel pretty good. Like my quads are a little bit sore, I think, from the hills, but just did like a 10K run today and felt all right. But yeah. And so I think I'll probably try to build up my kilometers quite a bit more before Sydney Marathon. And yeah, get a little bit fitter. So that's the goal. And I think I'm going to do Southern to Surf. I've done that the past couple of years. That one's
pretty fun. You know when that is?
I think it's like the 17th maybe of July, maybe a week after.
Ooh, 17th of July is still Wednesday. Oh. I know. Maybe I'll look it up.
Definitely not.
We can do this now.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up.
I think it's on a Sunday, surely.
Definitely on a Sunday. It's definitely not on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
21st of July. So you got the right weight, Katie.
Okay, yeah.
I won't be.
Oh, you'll be in Spain?
Yeah.
Damn.
I'll leave on the 19th.
How long are you going to Spain for?
Looks like 2.5 weeks. Yeah, going for a wedding. Going for a family wedding. We got invited to a wedding. As people love to put weddings overseas. Just going to make the most of 2 weeks in Spain, really. 2.5 weeks.
Where in Spain?
I can never pronounce it. I think the wedding is in Palafrugell. I can't remember exactly where that is. But beyond that, the wedding itself is 4 days worth of activities. All we have to really pay for is accommodation and like kind of traveling from our accommodation to there because they're putting on food, drinks for like everything. It's great across all 4 days. And then after that, we're going to go to Barcelona and Madrid and to Cadaqués, I think it is too. A little bit of sightseeing, get what we can get in 2 weeks. We wanted to do more, but we just couldn't figure it out with work. I've got a lot going on at that time of the year, so it was easier for us just to do two then. And then the best time for me for holidays is probably the start of the year. So Steph, my partner, not Stefan, she entered us both in the London Marathon ballot, so we could be headed to London next year if one or both of us pull that off. Otherwise, we segued into holiday chat. I'm going to go with it. Otherwise, I think I'm going to try and line up to do Osaka or Tokyo next year.
Christchurch.
And if all else fails, I'll do Christchurch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Backup plan.
Yeah. The only time I'll ever have an A, B, C, D, or E plan.
very cool.
We'll speak
to be honest. Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Let me butt in real quick. I booked Bali just the day after the city marathon, so I can just get cheap massages for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, nice. That's a good plan.
Ultimate recovery.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Tom DeCano's in Kuta at the moment, so just following suit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. Just, you know, book a holiday right after a marathon. Yeah. Or go to the holiday spot for the marathon, you know?
Yeah, like Tokyo or London.
Absolutely.
Or Sam, Christchurch.
Christchurch. Them road trip down to Queenstown. We had a great week.
I've been to New Zealand, though. I've also been to Japan, so.
Yeah.
Now, I go to New Zealand quite a bit. It's just easy. It's a nice holiday, and, yeah, it's predictable. Everyone's kind of semi-Australian there. They just say they race differently. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What I was going to say about London is, for the listeners and you, Mitch, after this, stick around because Dan Squires will actually recap his London Marathon experience where he ran 2:35, and he's making this running stuff look pretty easy. To be honest, it's quite annoying. But yeah. So yeah. Well, I guess that's the training recaps. Oh, one quick question, Katie. How's the body feeling after yesterday?
Oh yeah, feeling fine. Yeah, quads are a little sore, like I said, from the hills, but all good. Like, you know,
strong AF.
It was just a rough day. I feel like I pushed myself to like 100%. You know.
Yeah.
So that's annoying, but at least there's more races coming up, so plenty of time for that.
Yeah, just think of it as a big tempo effort or something.
Oh. Yeah, super fun tempo effort.
Yeah, no, nice. All right, well, we're moving on to our first segment, which is going to be called Running Kit of the Week. And I guess
we've got to change this. We've got to call this like Cafe Kit.
Cafe Kit of the Week.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be specifically Cafe Kit, but come on, Cafe Kit of the Week. It's got history in the pod, in the Yard podcast. Do it.
I'm just afraid that Froffy will be frothing too much if we say that.
Why not? We're going to reel him in.
All right, Cafe Kit of the Week.
The VIP him on a few episodes to come in the chat.
Yeah. Yeah, he will. Yeah, anyway, I'm going to start. And yeah, we're fortunate enough to have LSKD hook us up with some, I guess, running gear last week, which contributed to the photo shoot that we did with Liam. So yeah, thanks very much to them for that. And yeah, looking forward to do some more stuff together moving forward. I'll start, and this may sound a bit boring, but I'm going for the drink bottle because it's probably the best drink bottle I've ever used, to be honest. It's one of those spray drink bottles, the ones that you squirt. And it works smoothly, but you can lock off the spray compartment, which I've never seen before. So effectively you just twist the top and then you can't spray. So
I can picture you. I can picture you on your like little Zwift bike or whatever, just doing the spray with your...
in slow motion.
Yeah. With a little fan in front of you.
Yeah. Well, they're going to take it off.
I mean, I've been doing only cycling this week, so the water bottle is perfect. You could take it out on a long run, I reckon. You know, when you're running around with your pop tops, Mitch, and they're kind of spraying a little bit occasionally.
I would say though, it's just a touch too big for that. But it's like a proper full size water bottle. If it was down to kind of like Morton / Precision shape, or not shape, it's the same kind of shape, but size water bottle.
Yeah.
Possibly like maybe a half to two thirds of the size. It would be ideal for that.
Imagine, it's weird that one of these companies that are doing drink bottles and stuff haven't thought of that, because it's such a gap in the market, because people are still relying on pop tops to be their marathon fueling.
Yeah. And I find pop tops aren't big enough.
Yeah.
And they're too awkward too.
Yeah, agreed.
Like you gotta suck the water out instead of like, I like, it's done with the scenes, the squirt function, if that's how you call it. Is that actually quite handy?
Say this is a say it was a good suggestion after all. But yeah, we need them to make like some 350, 400 mil sizes. But yeah, fit for purpose based on what I've been doing this week. And that's not to say that I didn't love the rest of the gear that they sent either. Mitch, what's your go-to?
Well, I'll keep the thing going for LSKD. I have never in my life worn a pair of two-in-one shorts. And what I mean by that, for anybody that does understand, is a pair of shorts with have like pretty much, well, not every pair of shorts has an inbuilt liner in them, but most do. But yep. These ones, for a two-in-one short, they have like a tights liner in it. So you can pretty much have a tight that comes down to the edge of the shorts. And I hate the look of them. I don't know. I feel like they're a bit dorky. But these pair of LSKD shorts that I was given have, they're a two-in-one pair. So they have that kind of bike short tight liner in them. I pulled them up a little bit and ran in them for the shoot and that half attempt at a long run, and ran in them again on Sunday in the rain. And I'm going to be honest, they're comfy as. They are actually really good. They've just got a standard zip pocket on the back, which I threw two precision chew packs and car key in. Fit that fine. I actually didn't check to see if they had any internal pockets. But they do have two normal pockets, like pant pockets, I guess, which I see no use for with like running for me. Like cafe kit wise, yeah, great. I can throw my phone and wallet in there or car keys, you know, for that part.
There's also on the tights on the inside, there's a like a little tight pocket as well for you to slip your phone into.
Did not realize that.
Yeah,
so again, that's great too. I know a lot of people like to run with their phone. Ed Goddard will probably appreciate that. Wouldn't have to hold it in his hand. Pity he's sponsored by ASICS though. I'm gonna have one little thing here that I don't like about them. So I'm gonna be frank. I'm gonna be honest. And this is a pet peeve of mine for any pair of tights, or just I guess shorts that I run in, is the seam line on the tights runs through the middle. And it's not a comfy time. And like, this might be a little bit TMI, but like, I won't wear underwear when I run. Like, I'll rely on the liners. I'm comfy and it doesn't bother me one bit. I don't get any issue unless tights have a seam line that runs down the middle. It's not a fun time. And I'll leave it there for like, I'm not creating any pictures, but that's my only gripe with these shorts. Otherwise, I think they'd be great for like my midweek runs, but in a hot kind of environment for 2 hours or longer, they're going to get uncomfortable. And it did start on that first day post photo shoot, but in the rain it was fine. There was no issues there.
Yeah, so I think these shorts are probably for someone who's not free balling.
Yeah, I mean,
that might be the go there. We'll have to get you some non-lined shorts next time. I reckon no, you'd like the splitties. Actually, the splitties are good.
Yeah, the splitty liners. So like the Nike AeroSwift tights have the same kind of liner as like a pair of splitties do.
Yeah,
but then I've got like other tights, like a pair of Adidas tights that don't have any liner, and they're completely fine. It's just where that seam line sits. I've got a pair of New Balance ones and they don't have a liner, and they have a seam line that goes through the middle, and they are the worst. That seam line's thick too. It's not good.
Yeah, cafe approved.
Oh, yeah, those shorts are cafe approved, 100%. They're comfy. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if you just run out for a run, or even if you're not running, they're 100% cafe approved.
Yeah. Very good.
Black Nova Blast, great.
Yeah. Yeah, refer to the incoming photos from the shoot. Katie, what's your cafe kit of the week?
Oh, man. Well, two things. I'll start with the shorts that I really like. I actually really loved everything that we got from the LSKD. Sorry, it's a new thing for me. And that's like hard for me to say because I always am really like kind of loyal to Nike and Lululemon.
Yeah.
And so for me to like branch out to another brand, I'm like, you know, but I got them and I was like, actually, like, I kind of like these a lot more. I feel like they're a lot more, like thought through, like with all the pockets and all that kind of thing. I feel like Nike does a good job, but I mean, just Nike shorts, like they don't have a lot of pockets, you know, for like gels and like your phone and everything. Like the Swift shorts or whatever, the really popular ones that are like split on the side that are kind of like wrinkled in the back. I have a few pairs of those and I like love them, super comfortable, but they just like, when you're doing like a marathon effort or something and you need to pack gels in or your phone or whatever, you just can't really wear them, you know? So, both the pairs, I got two pairs. I got like a nice, like a loose short running short one. And then also, like a tight compression short, and love both of them, pockets, all that. So super happy with all of those. And then also, Mitch might disagree with me on this one, but I really love the socks.
Yeah.
Mitch can tell you about his deal with ankle high socks in a little bit, but yeah, they're really nice. They're like, I think they're cotton, and sort of like mid calf rise. Mm-hmm. And I wore them actually for the race this weekend, and they were perfect. Like, absolutely loved them. Have worn them like 4 or 5 times since getting them like a week ago. So yeah, love the socks. Probably buy another pair.
Yeah, nice one. Very good.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks again, LSKD. And yeah, we look forward to, I guess, more collaborations moving forward. The other segment that we're trying to put together, and this one might take some workshopping around the next few weeks to get in touch with the various clubs. But effectively what we want to do is shout out members from all of the running clubs on the South Coast. Again, it's going to be, you know, we can only provide the information that we get to some extent. So we're going to do our best to get in touch with everyone and, give all the runners working hard every day, the shout out they deserve. So I'll start off. I'm going to shout out Ebony Keysecker. So she's actually the founder of your local run club, which is a new run club. It started around October last year. And effectively, it's for people around Kiama, Shell Harbour areas, so just south of Wollongong. They just get together very casually, and anyone's welcome to turn up. They normally go for a run, have a swim, and then have a coffee after they finish. Anywhere from Shell Harbour Surf Life Saving Club or Kiama Downs Surf Life Saving Club. So yeah, it's super cool what Ebony's put together there. She ran a half marathon at Shell Harbour as well. I think it was her first one, and she ran under 2 hours. So, yeah, it's a really good achievement. And, she's doing a lot for the running community around the Shell Harbour area. Katie, I might pass it over to you.
Yeah, so my shout-out's going to be for Angus Lamb from the Sapphire Coast Runners. He completed his 13th marathon with a PB of 3:38 at Taipei. In his best running accomplishments is being the first arrival to the Bondi Pub after the City of Surf with an impressive time of 9:08 a.m.
Yeah, good from you, Angus. He's always in the first few at Pambula Park Run whenever I'm down there. So good on you. Mitch, who have you got?
I'm going to claim him as a WTC lad. I wouldn't say he actually is, but we're going to make it official now. I got Nathaniel Brisbane. So he's popped up on the radar probably the last couple of months for all the boys. He's been getting in some real good form. Strava stalked him. I follow him on Strava anyway, so it's not really that stalky. His PB's on here, he's got 4:17 for 1500. I was there the night he ran that. It was at the mid-February, the night that Cam Myers beat Jake Whiteman and a host of others in that 1500 at Bankstown. But an hour and 7 minutes before he ran that 4:17, he ran a 2:09.800 where he led from the front and just ran. So that's intense. Got a 3K PB at 9:03, which he ran at a KJ tonight. His 5K PB, I'm sorry, Nathaniel, you can't claim this one. It's 15:33, and he ran that. That's off his Strava time too. He ran that as a 15:39 at the WTC handicap in Feb. The 15:39 was the watch time, which was recorded on the course. Not an official race, not an accredited or certified course, so it doesn't count. But still, solid. And he can run that time, I have no doubts whatsoever. 10K time was a time trial, 32:45. And then his half marathon is 72:10, which he ran at Runshell Harbour recently. Again, the distance on that course is not certified, so I don't know if we're claiming that one.
Yeah.
But he is in some pretty good shape at the moment. He's training up for Canberra Marathon, and yeah, he just
Canberra Marathon.
For it. He's only young, not Canberra Marathon, Gold Coast Marathon.
Yeah.
He's training for a long time. He's got not 11 months to go before Canberra.
Nice.
No, for Goni. I think he agreed, actually, from conversations with him, he agreed to do this marathon before he really got serious into running with a bunch of mates.
Yeah.
And now he's going that well. I think he's going to have a fair decent crack at it. I think he's about 20, 21, maybe even 22. People think he's a lot younger than he is, but yeah, local down here at UOW. And yeah, mass shout out to Nathaniel.
Awesome. That's a great one. He's been killing it for quite a while now. So good on you, Nathaniel.
He beat me at state 5K too in my race. Got it.
You didn't have to disclose that, but that's all right. So yeah, anyway, we're hoping to shout out hundreds of people over the course of the next few months, really. So make sure you tune in because you could be next. Look, that brings us to the end of, I guess, the first iteration of the three of us talking about running. So, yeah, thanks, guys, for joining me. And, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, do stick around. Dan Squires is going to give us a London Marathon recap. People might be wondering, he lives in Ireland, doesn't he? But, he did study at UOW. And he does admit that, like, he's extremely talented, that running a 2:35 marathon wasn't on his 5-year plan. It was when he was at the Wollongong pub sinking pints a few years ago. So which is frustrating for all the runners toiling away, but he's getting good at an extremely fast rate.
How old is he?
He'd be 2 years younger than me, I think, so 29-ish, I think. Jeez. Or maybe 30. He would have started running when I did, like, pretty much exactly the same time.
Yeah.
Next I thought I was going all right.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's from the Blue Mountains originally, actually, so yeah, Benny Saint type operator. Anyway, stick around for that, and yeah, thanks, Mitch. Thanks, Katie, so much. Looking forward to the next one.
Thanks for having us. Cheers.
Thanks.
Sorry to be back.
Yep. All right, see you guys. Bye.
See ya.
Hey, Dan, welcome back to the podcast off the back of your big PB at London Marathon.
Yep. Cheers, Sam. Thanks for having me. Glad to be back.
Yeah, no worries. And glad we have good news to report.
Yeah, it was looking a bit touch and go there. Just in the last couple of weeks going into the race after we recorded, I was really lacking confidence because I had a bit of a hamstring niggle.
Yeah.
And I did think at one point, maybe I'm not coming back on that podcast if I don't run as well. So, yeah, no, it was good news. Good news in the end. So,
yeah,
happy with us.
Well, from an outsider perspective, you're making this running stuff look pretty easy. It just seems pretty much like you're chipping 3 to 5 minutes off your PB every single time you run a marathon. So, let's see if that keeps going.
Yeah, I would love to keep it going. I dare say that there's going to be a time where it gets, a bit hard to go from minutes to seconds, but yeah, happy with the fact that the last three marathons, or the only three marathons I've done, I've gone 2:42, 2:39, now 2:35. So yeah, we'll see if I can do it one more time. And then I think once you get into maybe like the 2:20s, then it's going to be a bit harder.
Yes. Yeah. You're making it sound all too easy. You've been running for how long? What, 3 or 4 years? And you're talking about running in the 2:20s for the marathon already.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say it feels easy, but yeah, it's gone well, I guess. And I guess it sort of has taken a fair bit of like dedication and just consistency really over everything else, just getting out the door and getting it done. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's been easy, but yeah, no, it's yeah, I'm glad that it's gone well. And yeah, I sort of think back a few years ago when I was, you know, smashing pints at North Gong, and this wasn't on my 5-year plan to run a 235 marathon or even to run a marathon. So it's funny how life changes, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, it might be good to hear generally about how your block went and maybe kind of your training philosophy. Maybe just at a high level, and then we'll do a deeper dive on, you know, traveling over to London, the expo. Obviously you've done it before, but be good to give South Coastians a bit of insight to what the whole experience is like, because London's obviously a huge marathon and on a bunch of people's bucket list. So yeah, talk us through your training block.
Yeah, so I knew I wanted to do a spring marathon, but it was looking like we might have been back in Australia here during the time the London Marathon was on. So I'd actually bought an entry for London as well as Belfast, which is actually happening this weekend that's coming. And I had not basically, I had some time until I needed to lock in my London Marathon entry, and it basically ended up happening that we weren't going to be back in Australia. So I could do London. So I thought, okay, perfect. I feel like I can put a good block together here and run fast in London. Whereas maybe in Belfast, it's a bit harder to run a quicker time just due to lack of people at the front of the race. And it's a bit hillier and a bit quieter on the course. So yeah, anyways, I was back in Australia over Christmas there, and I sort of used that time to just obviously catch up with friends and family, and it was quite hot, but I did run while I was down in Oz. I sort of averaged, like, for the 4 weeks I was there, I did about 100Ks, just like as in 100Ks a week in the heat. Not many sessions, but I sort of thought like that was a good sort of 4 weeks there where it was like pre-block, where I could, you know, just not have any niggles and, like, you know, I guess you sort of start to get the base sort of set, the foundation set there in the heat. And then, yeah, got back to Belfast in January, and then it was sort of, I guess, yeah, go time from there. I think, yeah, I've been training a fair bit with like a group here called Roadrunners AC, and they're very marathon based.
Yeah.
And so I was sort of mainly structuring the whole block around, like, I did a lot of long runs, so like 35K plus long runs, and that could have been off like the day before having run 25 or 30K. So big weekends, as well as we were doing sort of like 13K tempos, or sometimes even more, like, at, you know, and it was, I was training with those guys, and the main guy I was training with this guy named Noel McNally. He's a bit quicker than me. He's run like a 2:31 marathon. So I was training sort of a bit more at his pace, which suited me fine, but it was probably a bit quicker than marathon pace, if that's what it was meant to be. Like, we were doing 13Ks, averaging like, you know, 3:31 or 3:32 or something like that. So I was kind of, yeah, doing that. So, and then I did a couple of, big marathon workouts in the block. So one of those was like 2x10K, it was like 5K warm up, 10K at marathon pace, 5K in the middle, 10K at marathon pace, then 5K warm down.
And that's on a Sunday? Or?
Yeah, that was on a Sunday, yeah, at a place called Craigavon Lakes. Really, actually, it was a beautiful day, and it was a good group. The thing with the group again, though, was that they were a bit quicker than me, so I was running at their pace, which was like 3:30, like low 3:30s, mid 3:30s.
Yeah.
But I actually felt great. And like, that was when I started to like really get a big boost in confidence. Cause I was like, oh, okay, I'm actually like fairly fit here. Like, I still very unknown for me with the marathon. Like, you never really know what's going to happen or if there's an injury just around the corner waiting for you. But at that point in time, I was like, okay, I feel pretty good keeping up with these guys. Maybe I could run like a, you know, 2:33 or something like that. And then, yeah, I guess I did a few more sort of marathon-y based workouts, and yeah, just kept up the long runs. I think I had like in say the 12 to 14 weeks that I sort of dedicated to London there, think I had maybe 5 or 6 weeks that were over 150K. So that was a bit different to previous marathon blocks where I'd probably averaged more like 130 to 140. I sort of made an effort to bump it up a bit and doing a lot of doubles.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of like just 5K doubles just to add a bit of volume. And then, yeah, running for like most days, running for like 90 plus minutes. And I think that I responded really well to the added volume. So I'm definitely going to do that in the future and even like maybe go up a little bit more, try and do a few like 100-mile weeks. But yeah. I got close to 100 miles a couple of times in this block, but like I didn't really, like I could have gone out for like 4K just at the end of the week to get 100 miles, but I just didn't really see like the major point so much. But
yeah,
yeah, anyways, and then it got a bit closer to London. And this is where I sort of, the nice sort of roller coaster that I was on got quite bumpy and a bit scary. And I started to lose a bit of confidence. I mean, I went and raced a half and it was like really windy. And like I ran 76.30 on a day where I've already had the fitness on a fast course to probably run like 73 or maybe a bit quicker. So that was more of a race than like a time trial to like show fitness, which was good and bad. But yeah, then the weekend after that, I basically had a full training week and then I went down to another half marathon and ran 76.30 there, but that felt really easy and really nice because it was good weather and there's no pressure. I didn't even have an entry to the race. I just jumped in at the start and ran around and I sort of thought to myself after that, okay, this could be marathon pace. And, I also did sort of, I didn't think about it at the time, but I did actually start to get a bit of soreness in the top of my hamstring during that run. And I wonder if I just like, yeah, the weeks after that and like, you know, the full month after that, it didn't go away and it was sort of there all the time. So I was kind of thinking like maybe that was one of those points where I just overdid it a little bit.
So that half was the following week. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. I did the first half on the Sunday, and then the second one was on the Saturday. So it was 6 days. Yeah, it was about 6 days, and I probably did like I think I did like 150K that week as well. So that was maybe not the wisest, but it was sort of like I was feeling good. You know, it was just in training, and I was up until then I was dealing with the volume completely fine, and I still kept the volume going for like the next few weeks after that. And then yeah, I went over to Sweden for a week, and yeah, I was having this like hamstring issues, and it was really cold over there, and like when I say really cold, it was like minus 20 some of the days, and it was snowy, and like it was really hilly where I was staying, so I don't know if that was ideal for the hamstring, but. Yeah, somehow managed to get through that week and got back to Belfast. And this is sort of like 2 weeks out from London. And I know a guy here who he does a bit of like remedial massage. So I went and saw him like literally the day after we got back from Sweden and said, look, I'm having these issues. Hopefully it's not going to derail my race because he's a marathoner as well.
Yep.
And so he basically, gave me a massage there. I followed up with another one the week after. And then, got to the race and that was the least of my troubles. Really, the hamstring, I didn't really even feel it. I maybe felt it a little bit in the first 5 or 10K, but like maybe the adrenaline and the fact that after a while, everything, like random things start hurting, like left Achilles or right quad or, you know, your back hurts or something in the race. So you never know. The thing that's causing you issues and destroying your confidence in the lead up might not even be the thing that causes you any issues in the race. So yeah, no, that was the block. I don't know if I missed anything there, but yeah.
So you've gotten away with it by the sounds of it. You got to your taper and you just relaxed. There's a bit of uncertainty, but it all panned out on race day.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. I mean, everyone sort of says like maranoia in the lead up to a race, like that sort of 2 weeks before everything starts, maybe get phantom niggles and stuff. This genuinely wasn't like, I feel like it could be sciatica related. I don't know, because I'm sitting down at work and like a lot of the time I'm finishing work and then I'm trying to get out the door like ASAP.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm not like stretching out properly. So I'm just being a bit more conscious of that. But Yeah, no, I think I did. I think I did get away with it. And yeah, who knows if I didn't have that in the lead up, maybe I could have run a bit quicker, or maybe I would have had something else and I would have run slower. It's always hard to say. So yeah, no, got away with it in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So walk us through, I guess, what's your week look like going into the race, and you travel. I'm not too familiar with how long it takes to get from where you live to London. So quick flight.
Yeah. So super easy to get to London from, where I live here in Belfast.
Yeah.
Like flights are super cheap. Only takes like an hour on the plane. Like you barely even like sit down before you're standing up again to get off. So yeah, no, that's really good. I'll talk you maybe through the week, leading up. So like pretty low volume week in the lead up. Like on the Monday did 10K. On the Tuesday I did 10K. And then I did a small marathon session on the Wednesday. It was literally just like a 10-minute tempo on the track, at like 3:40 pace. And then I did a 5 by a minute. And I was actually the main, like, obviously it's good to do a little like tune up type session like that in the lead up to the race. But I'd also bought a pair of Alpha Flies off, Alpha Fly Ones off, Vinted, which is like Depop, kind of like one of these secondhand things. Really pristine. Some guy was selling them. He'd like bought them a while back, never used them. And I was like, oh, awesome, perfect, they're great. So I ended up, running a few sessions in those, and I was like not feeling them that well. Like, you know, there was a bit of bounce in them, but they just weren't that comfortable. And I had another pair of Alpha Flyers that I'd used in previous races, but they had like 400 or 500 Ks in them. So I was like, oh, what do I do? Like, I'm really torn here. So I ended up testing both of those in that session, and deciding that I'd go with my older pair. But then it eventuated that I found another pair, on like a website, and they literally arrived on the Saturday before London on the Sunday. Took them for a 4K spin and they were great. So yeah, after that session during that week there, I did 12K on the Thursday, 20 minutes on the Friday. And then, yeah, the day before the race, just did a shakeout of like, 17 minutes in the new Alpha Flyers at 4:16 pace. Still wasn't sure what the heck I was going to do, what I was going to run or how it was going to feel. But it sort of was not too bad. Yeah, with regards to getting to London as well, super easy. Flew in to one of the airports, can't remember what it was, Stansted maybe. And we stayed at my girlfriend's cousin's place. Her and her fiance live there. So that's sort of London Marathon HQ for us whenever the two times we've been over.
Yep.
It works out really easily. Usually just take it quite easy on the Saturday, and they're sort of, they've jumped on the running bandwagon a little bit. So they kind of, they get it a bit, and we cook up a big pasta feed that night before. And yeah, that was also something else I did during the week leading up to the race. Like I just ate, I'd never really done a carb load per se.
Yeah.
Like maybe I just eaten a bit more the day before, but I'd been hearing on like Inside Running and like all these other, you know, I heard Brett Robinson talking about it and a few other podcasts. So I really like the, you know, 4 or 5 days out from the race, I was just like eating everything and anything and just tons of carbs. I should have tracked it, cause I reckon it was a lot. And I think I definitely like respond quite well to that. I never get any like tummy issues or anything like that off that many carbs. I'll definitely be doing that in the future.
So it sounds like you're not super scientific in your approach, in terms of tracking and stuff like that. You just kind of,
I think like, yeah, I'm just trying. Actually, no, that is a fair call to make, and I really should probably in the future
track. Well, clearly works for you. I think.
Yeah.
You mentioned Brett. He's someone who specifically has stomach issues. I get similar issues with stitches, to be honest. Like, I track it pretty carefully, and like have a bit of a, you know, like 10 grams or so for a couple of days out, and I've found like probably maybe two or three days out, it's a bit better than 4 or 5 days out because you feel so sluggish if you just do it for like a longer period. I reckon you don't necessarily need that. It's interesting.
Yeah, I was just like smashing like handfuls of lollies and stuff like throughout the day for like
lollies are
four
good,
or five days.
Yeah, because you can just get them down so easily. Do you remember Carb Load Fridays at Boyd Town?
Yeah, I do indeed. Yeah, go down to we used to go down to Domino's, get the $5 the deep dish pepperoni or whatever it was with the barbecue sauce, and then jump into Kmart and grab a pack of lollies. And those are the good days.
Yeah, Carbloid, the red licorice. I think it was your go-to at Kmart.
That was my go-to. I suppose we were probably carbloading for rugby on the Sunday, but in third grade as a winger, you don't really need a carbloid, I don't think.
And probably a bit high in fat as well. what were we doing? But anyway, cool.
Good times.
So sounds like the carbloid treated you well. You slept at your friend's house in London. Was that close to the race?
So the race actually starts over in a place called Blackheath. And the good thing about London is it's super easy to get, pretty much everywhere. Like,
just get on the tube.
On the race morning, I just jumped on a bus and then got to like one of the main train stations. And then there was basically just heaps of people, like volunteers at that London Bridge I went to. And there's just like thousands of people going to the race and volunteers everywhere. And all the trains are free. And they're just pointing you onto the right train, and then you get off there, and you just follow this sort of like, I guess, stream of people who are going to be running in the marathon up to where the race starts, and then they put you in all these different pens, like really big fenced off areas related to your start time. We got up there quite early. I don't know, on the morning of the race, like at that point I had so many carbs that like I only could fit in like half a bagel, and I had a gel with breakfast and a coffee and a banana. And then I had another coffee like an hour later, just Americano. And then another gel just before the race started. And then, as I was saying, we got out to Blackheath and went into the pen. It was all just about like getting straight into the toilets, because then if you don't get into the toilets soon enough, then the line is absolutely monstrous. Like, it's huge. You'll have like 1,000 people in the line for the toilets. There's a lot of portaloos, but like if you leave your dash too late or like something happens and you don't get to the toilet, then there's no chance. So literally got there, made a beeline for the portaloos, and then we just sat down with a bit of wind cover, and like literally I just lied down and like put my head on my race bag and just kicked back, had a bit of sips of water, and we just try not to talk too much or think too much about the race. We were just sort of enjoying ourselves. I was just chatting to a few random people because I noticed there was a lot of people wearing the classic Boston Marathon flex of the jacket that they get when they finish. So just chatting to them about Boston and things, and then it gets a bit closer to the race start, and so you go over and like jump in your little mosh pit and do up your shoelaces like 8 times to make sure that they're just right.
Yeah.
Even though they're probably exactly the same as when you first did them up.
Yeah.
And then, the race sort of starts from there and like a rolling start. So, this kind of brings you up to the beginning of the race.
Yeah, cool. And, talk us through your race kit. And what did you wear? Did you have pockets for your gels and all that?
I've got a good pair of shorts. They're pretty funky little design on them. I think they're ASICs maybe, and I've got a really good zip pocket at the back that fits 3 gels. And then I usually carry a gel in each hand, and then my sort of main approach with the gels is I'll have one every half an hour. And one of them was a Morton and the rest were SIS. I saved that Morton until like about 20 miles, about 2 hours into the race, and I smashed that, and that kind of helps me like refocus a bit, and sort of at that point you're hurting pretty bad. So
why is that? Just like flavor fatigue, something a bit different, or
I don't know. I think because it's caffeinated. Sorry, I didn't mention it was. Did I mention it was caffeinated? Yeah, it was caffeinated.
You didn't,
whereas
but,
the other ones,
do caffeinated ones as well, though, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I don't know why. I just did it last year in London. I just bought a Morton gel at the expo. And it was caffeinated, and then I had that in the race last year, at like 20 miles, and then I just did the same this year. So yeah. I really need to start having more caffeinated. Maybe I'll do 2 caffeinated gels in one of the races, because actually caffeine is a hack, man. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
It really helps. So yeah, the kit. So Alphafly 1s on the feet, Steigen socks, ASICS shorts, and my club vest and Nike headband. Nice. And that was me. Obviously, like, lubed head to toe in Vaseline and spray deodorant. That's a good tip for anyone who maybe gets a bit of chafing. Like, luckily I've only really gotten chafing on like some ultras and things I've done, but if you use spray deodorant, it's like on the areas where you get chafing, it works as good, if not better, than Vaseline. So highly recommend that.
Yeah, cool. And do you reckon you roll straight into the cafe with that kit after a run normally?
The shorts are pretty short, but definitely. I don't think I would. No, looking like people would be looking you up and down a bit funny. I'd want to put on a shirt at least, I'd say. I'm a bit too pale these days living in Belfast to be comfortable with my skin tone.
Yeah, fair enough. Now everyone rolls around shirtless in the Gong, as you know. So
yeah,
a bit different.
Yeah, well, this would even stick out if I was wearing what I was wearing in the Gong. This is real, like, race day kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. So anyway, you got your race kit sorted, you got your gels, you've gone to the bathroom, you probably jump in a pack up the front, you got some kind of preferred start, I would imagine. Yeah, you'd run under 240, so you'd be your priority start there, right?
Yeah, so I kind of like, I messed up a little bit because I didn't know I was going to be able to do London. I just had the good for age time, as in I could get into the championship wave, which is one of the very first.
Yeah.
It's ended up being wave one, and last year wave one was fantastic because they took us, like, they let us go out by ourselves, and you know, you weren't dodging and weaving anyone. Whereas this year they started wave one behind the championship wave,
right?
And that had, like, you know, sub 240 men as well as like sub 3 hour women, that kind of thing. As well as like a lot of other people who maybe are a bit older but have that qualification time. So the first like 5 or 10K of that race, probably even till like 10 miles, it was a lot of dodging and weaving, dodging and weaving a lot in the first few K. Like, I was running on the footpath, and we were running pretty quick as well. So it was like, I definitely maybe exerted a bit much energy, like a bit too much energy in that spot there, just by getting caught up a bit and like trying to get around so many people. I was in wave one, which went off at like 2 minutes past 10. So
nice one. So did you find a pack pretty early in the race? Maybe we get to the gun goes off and things get started.
Things sort of got started. I was running it with a mate, and we basically plan to like run it together and, you know, go through halfway together. And then maybe if we're still together towards the very end, then the race is on. But yeah, so I was with him and we were just sort of like chasing each other that first 5K, but there was no pack or anything in the first 5 or 10K because it was just so congested. Like, you just had people like dodging and weaving around each other and like real trip hazards everywhere. It wasn't until we got to about 10 miles, so about 16K into the race, that it like thinned out a little bit, and then you could actually see some packs. And
that's crazy. A third of the race. Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it was just me and him, like me and my mate, just like together in that point, just sort of making our way through like the crowds and, you know, the packs and things that were there maybe just before that 16K mark, like they were going a bit slower because they'd started a bit earlier, or like it just wasn't right. So we just sort of did that to sort of begin. And then I realized that, like, you know, I was saying to him, like, let's try and run like 18:20 or 18:30 per 5K. and I had the 5K, like, you know, I just lapped my watch every 5K marker and I'd see what the previous 5K was.
Yeah.
And the first one, like, popped up 17:59 and I was like, oh, like, oh, that's a bit quick. Like, you know, maybe, you know, I was feeling okay, but like, we're definitely running kind of fast. And I sort of said, like, oh, we're up on our time a little bit here. So, like, let's try and settle in a bit. Then the next one was 18:10. So we hadn't really settled too much, a little bit. But yeah, I was sort of like saying to him, okay, we, like, you know, might need to start thinking about calming it down a little bit here. Down, trying to get this, yeah.
You know, 40 seconds up your sleeve.
Yeah. Cause he was, and that's, yeah, 40 seconds up your sleeve with like only being like, you know, 10K or so into the race. It's, yeah. It can be daunting, and I know that, yeah, that can really undo a race. But anyway, so he was like off the front of me, like, you know, and I was like, this is not going how I would like it to go, as far as like, feel like I'm chasing him a bit. And he hasn't run as many, not that I've run tons of marathons, but like, I feel like I consume a lot of content about the marathon. I've listened to like so many road twos and heard about races going wrong, and
yeah.
I sort of realized, like, okay, if we keep running the way we're running, then we're going to go through halfway in like 76, and that's faster than my half marathon PB.
Yeah.
And who knows what could happen in the back half of the race. So, yeah, ended up running up next to this group, and there were two guys in the same club from like Herne Hill Harriers, which is some club over in the UK. I've never heard of it before, but I just said to them, like, what pace are you guys running and what do you want to finish in? And they said, we're running 3:40s. And we want to finish in like 2:34:30. I was like, sweet. So I just jumped in behind them. Didn't even worry about my mate. He was like 5 or 10 meters up the road. And I just jumped in with them, started like rolling Ks with them. And he was only like 5 or 10 meters off the front of our pack by himself. And I just yelled out to him, like, oi, Will, like, come back in here and just sit in here. And like, you know, still got 26K left in the race. So he jumped in there and we just kind of sat in with that group for, I probably sat in with them for like the next like 17 or 18 Ks and just sort of rolled like 3:38s to 3:42s pretty much.
Yeah.
Like clockwork. And yeah, it was then after sort of, 20 miles. And then I like got separated from the group a little bit. And yeah, they like, they sort of forged on a little bit, but yeah, I was sort of in the bin a little bit there. So yeah, prior to that though, like, if anyone gets a chance to do London, highly recommend. It's such a good race. Like, there's spectators the whole way around. And in the first half, I really enjoyed the spectators. Like, you know, you're running around, pumping them up, like, you know, flexing the biceps a little bit. No, not really, but you know. You know, trying the hands up to pump the crowd up, and you really feed off the adrenaline.
Yeah.
I struggled to feed off the adrenaline a little bit in the, towards the like later stages of the race, just cause I was tying up a little bit, but, yeah, no, it was epic. Best bit about the race as well is going over Tower Bridge, which is just, London Bridge or London Tower Bridge. It's just before halfway, and it's like 6 or 7 people deep on both sides, like screaming at you, and like, it's just so epic. It really, like, yeah, you feel rejuvenated after that. So yeah, made it to halfway in 77 flat. Definitely had been like, you know, like a bit more on the edge, I guess. That was, you know, fairly quick. That was a lot quicker than I'd ever been through halfway through before. So had sort of really wanted to negative split the race, but then I realized when we went through at 77, I was like, okay, it's very, very unlikely I'm going to negative split. So let's just try and like hold on to this lead essentially that we have on 2:35. So yeah, kept rolling with that group, 3:40s, was feeling good. Obviously things just start to hurt a bit more and a bit more, and like your Achilles starts hurting and your knees and your legs, and yeah, you just kind of keep maintaining and try not to think about it. And as you sort of get a bit closer to the end, then it's like I start sort of trying to play mind games with myself a little bit, like, oh, look, only like 10K to go, sweet, that's like 2 park runs. And then I'm like, oh, sweet, four miles to go, that's 6K, like, oh, there's only 5K left after that. And then yeah, you're just tricking yourself a little bit.
And when did the pack disintegrate towards the end?
Yeah, it was kind of
obviously it would have, but sounds like it was a sensible pack because you get in sometimes, you get to halfway and everyone starts surging and shit.
It was
stupid.
It was a good pack besides this one guy who was in the pack, and I looked him up because I was trying to see what his deal was. I think he's a triathlete, and I don't know how many marathons he's done. He ended up running like 233 or 232, so he's obviously like very fit. The problem was that he just had no awareness of like what was happening around him. So like literally 6 or 7 times during the race, he literally just cut me off, like, you know, either to get a drink or we started getting hit by some wind, and he just like, I'm like behind the two guys in the pack there, and he's like to my left, and he just cuts in right there, and I have to like chops my stride out, and the 6th or 7th time that he went to cut in, I pull my arm out as we're running, and I like pull my arm out as a blocker, and I said, "No, mate, like you want to get in this pack, you got to go behind me. You can't just chop in the front here and like, you know." As and when you please. And I blew up at him a little bit because I was just like, you know, I said to him, I'm very happy to run a cool race here, but you know, you've cut me off like 6 or 7 times now, and I don't want my race to be over by tripping over. You need to not ever do that. And then like the guys in the back were like, they're like, whoa, boys, like, oh, I'm just like, let's keep it cool. Like, let's run a good race. And I was like, yeah, no, like 100%. Like, I'm really keen to do that. And I don't want to have any beef with anyone, but just don't want to be cut off like this many times. And then it like went quiet a bit. Maybe I brought the vibe down a little bit. And then I ended up apologizing. Oh, I'm such a sook. I was like, oh, look, mate, sorry to blow up at you there. But like,
in the pack.
as we're running along
during the race.
Because I didn't want, like, even though I was still pissed off, I didn't want the vibes to be bad. I was like, look, mate, sorry about that. But yeah, I just don't want to get tripped over by you, basically. And I was definitely, I didn't say anything bad to him when I did blow up at him.
What was he saying?
Oh, he didn't really say anything. I think he just had no awareness. And like, yeah, I can't even remember what he said when I said that, but like, he wasn't very receptive. But yeah, after like the next couple of Ks, then he like pushed off to the group ahead, and I was like, perfect, don't have to deal with that guy anymore.
And how many Ks in was this? Like,
would it be like 25, 26K, I'd say?
Yeah, so clearly, like, you know, I guess cognitive function was pretty, you know, on point at 25K into the race, so you're doing pretty well.
Like literally, I felt, like cognitively, I felt great the whole race, like making good decisions, making good, like, you know, turns through the corners and like picking good lines and, you know,
enforcing running etiquette.
Yeah, exactly. I was, you know, schooling boys as we were running around. That was just a little funny tidbit from the race. And I would say cognitively I felt really fine like the whole race, and cardio wise I never really had any major moments where I was like actually huffing and puffing. I would say the biggest thing for me, and this is a good takeaway for me into the future, is just my legs, like towards the end, like I was just sort of like my quads. It's just so like you're using the same part of your quad in the race that whole time.
Yeah.
Especially in London, because it's quite flat. And I just, my form was starting to get a little bit worse towards the end just because my legs were in so much pain. So
that's
that was
kind of the marathon though, right? Like it's a bit more aerobic and
100%.
More of a slow burn, So that kind of makes sense. I mean, with your time progression, like I think obviously your legs are pretty accustomed to the sport and marathon running specifically. If you're able to just, you know, chip away at your PB like that and aerobically improve, and then your body just seems to be keeping up. So
I'd say it's definitely the long runs, but I think for future blocks, I'll try and do a few more like, you know, 25K at marathon pace type sessions just to really like you know, condition the legs for that pounding. Like,
yeah,
it's all very well doing 35K over hills at a slow pace, but like doing something at marathon pace for a long time will probably help me a lot, I think. So yeah, I'll take that into the future.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, 25K, this guy's taken off and yeah, you just keep chipping away with the group.
Yeah, kept chipping away. And then, yeah, my mate who I started the race with, he was still with us at that point. He was just behind me in the group. And then around about like 31 or 32, like about 30 or 31K, I think we lost him slash a few others. And it got pretty windy around that section there. It was like real, like dusty. I actually got caught out where I wasn't right on the back of the group. And then I just like spent like 30 or 40 seconds just getting slammed by the wind by myself. And that almost like took the wind out of my sails a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God, that was really tough. And yeah, lo and behold, I was like, oh, I'll push hard here into the wind to get into the back of the group so then I can rest. And as soon as I got to the back of the group, then we like went past a building and there was no more wind. So I like,
yeah,
made that doubly hard. But yeah, and then I guess so went through 20 miles in like an hour 57,
mm-hmm.
which was still on about like 2:34 pace at that point, or like sub 2:35.
So 20 miles, that's about 10K to go roughly.
Yeah, about 10K to go. Yeah. So yeah, I think I was still on for sub 2:35 until about just before 35K. I was kind of tricking myself a little bit, trying to tell myself that I was like on at that pace. And it was hard to tell as well towards the end, but yeah, I would say after 32K with about 10K to go, then things started to get pretty hard.
Yeah.
Like kind of lost the group a little bit. Legs are getting a bit sore. I'm trying to like maintain my pace. I had that Morton gel, the caffeinated gel, and waited for that to kick in a little bit. And that actually really helped because, I don't know, it just kind of took like the soreness away a bit. And I was able to like refocus and really like, you know, keep my form going and keep clicking away. So yeah, it was just like probably with 8Ks to go, the march was on basically. Just get home as quick as you can. Every time I like tried to maybe try and run a bit quicker, then it wasn't happening. So I was really like locked into that sort of like 3:45K pace, or like maybe a little bit quicker towards the end. But yeah, I think my last two 5K splits were like, yeah, 3:45 and then 3:46. And then the last 2K to finish the race was 3:46. So yeah, I kind of just got like locked into 6 minute miles is sort of what they call it over here. That's a 6 minute mile ish. And yeah, I feel like I've run at that pace for a long time. So it was good that I was able to just, yeah, keep that going for a bit there. So yeah, got towards the end, saw a few people I knew, like obviously Georgie was there and a few others on the sidelines, and they screamed out and yeah, it gave me a bit of a boost. So yeah, but look, even with like 600 meters to go, when I saw this sign that said 600 meters to go and you turn right and then Buckingham Palace is there and you turn right again and you're on the mall, I was like, when I saw 600 meters to go, I was like, I wish that said 200, or I wish that said 100. Yeah. I'm smashed. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so rough.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, those finishing shoots can be deceptively long sometimes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so you crossed the line. What were your immediate thoughts? Were you like, thank God that's over?
Yeah, I didn't even really take in the time. I literally just thought like, yeah, thank God that is done. And I said, as everyone does, not doing one of those again, never doing another marathon, like, because I just felt like I'd suffered for far too long towards the end.
Yeah.
Not doing it again, even though I knew I was lying. And yeah, then you sort of like get shuffled through the masses and, well, not the masses, but like they put you through all these like shoots and you get like your medal and then you go find your bag. And I just sat down on the grass for like 10 minutes and had a bit of Lucozade and yeah, just got my shit sorted, put some
Lucozade
pants on. Lucozade's like, just like a Gatorade-y type drink.
Yeah, okay.
I think they're like the sponsor of London. So, yeah. And then, like, you just, there's only one direction you can really walk. So you pick up your bag. I like got changed and kept walking around, and then ended up meeting up with like Georgie and my mate Will, who was in the race as well. His girlfriend was there, and Will had already made it to that point. He must have walked straight past me towards the end.
So how'd your mate Will end up?
Yeah, he ended up finishing a couple of minutes behind me.
Yep.
But I had no idea where he was, so I wasn't sure if he'd like dropped out from the race or if he was still in the race or what. So I couldn't find him at the end, so I just kept walking around.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just said that like the same thing happened to him, as far as like he just couldn't keep the pace, and he just dropped off the back and he started just running like 4 minute case.
Yeah.
Whereas I was able to sort of kind of stay a bit closer to the pace that we wanted to run. So yeah, no, that was really, really big PB for him as well. I think that was like 7 or 8 minutes. So yeah,
yeah,
it was really solid.
Yeah, nice one. And where does a 2:35, or where did you place in the race?
Yeah, so it says overall I placed 428th. So 428th out of like 50,000 or something. And yeah, there was one woman who beat me actually in the mass race. That was the first, I don't know what she came in the British women, but yeah, I think she ran 2:33 or 2:34 or something like that. So yeah, 428th overall. So pretty happy with that. Came 700th last year. So yeah, we'll see if we can
top percent
breaking the 300s.
Yeah, for exactly. 50,000. Yeah, cool. And how did you celebrate after the race?
Yeah, we went to a pub and had half a burger and some chips and then a few way too expensive pints.
Sure.
They're like £7.30, just like $15 pint. Maybe that's not too expensive. I saw the alcohol prices back in Oz when I was there, and it was fairly similar. But yeah, just had a few beers and shared some stories from the race with a bunch of people. There was like a big group of people there. They were mainly my other mates' friends that lived in London. A few of them had run the marathon as well, and they were all interested. And yeah, just got chatting to a bunch of them. So yeah, went home and ordered some Indian and had a few more beers. And then nothing crazy. Wasn't out on the D floor or anything like that.
Yeah, fair enough. And we're a couple of weeks on now. How's the body? And are you getting back into the running already?
Yeah, body feels good. I sort of took last week as like a bit of a down week. I didn't run like longer than like I went out last Wednesday, like the Wednesday after the race. And
actually, I saw a post and you said body's not ready yet, so you tried to get out.
tried to get out because like in previous marathons, I'd been able to run like just straight away, like the day after, go out for a 5K or something, just to get the body moving. But this time, one, I felt like the block was like so consuming that I didn't, like I just sort of was like, okay, you've earned these like few days of like doing nothing. So I was like, by the Wednesday, I was like, you know, I'm getting a bit of an itch for it. I'll get out and go for a run. But I got like 2 minutes out the door and I just turned around. And I was like, you know, I'm not ready yet. So I just couldn't be bothered, and legs and hips and stuff didn't feel right. But then on the Thursday, I got out for like 8K. So yeah, that was all good. And then, yeah, it's funny, like this week, I'm just sort of back into it. Like got a big week sort of planned, and it's been feeling pretty good. I've done already two sessions this week, and I'm going to jump in the Belfast Marathon on Sunday, just like in the 3-hour pace group, and see how far I can go with them. So yeah, bounced back pretty well. And I think that's probably just a combination of the fact that you've got the taper week into a marathon, and then you've got the week after the marathon.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're used to sort of high mileage and a lot of intensity, then those 2 weeks really like make you feel well rested. So yeah, no, feeling good now, ready to go.
Yeah, nice. So once the legs recover a bit, the body feels good generally by the sense of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, yeah. Energy wise and feeling like you want to get out the door and go for a run. And yeah, it's a bit lighter in the evenings now too, so that always helps. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Well, congratulations on a ripper time, and yeah, hopefully you keep chipping off the minutes. And so you've gone a 3 minute improvement, a 4 minute improvement. So hopefully you run a 5 minute improvement next time, and you're right on the 2:30 barrier.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't think that's how it works, but
yeah, yeah. You never know. We'll see. Yeah, fingers crossed. I don't know what the next one will be, but I don't think I'm going to do another marathon this year, because I'm doing UTMB at the end of August.
Okay.
So I think after that I'll be pretty wrecked. So I think my next marathon will be spring next year, and I might even try and go and do like one of the other majors, because I really want to tick off the majors while I'm living in the Northern Hemisphere. So I thought maybe second half of next year I'll do Berlin, and the first half I might go and do maybe Boston or something like that.
So I was going to say, surely Berlin's on your roster.
Yeah, I want to go there and just fly around Berlin. Maybe that's where I can run sub 2:30. We'll see.
Yeah, then Valencia for sub 2:20.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll just go into Valencia with the same fitness I have for 2:30 in Berlin, and probably get me like a 2:23.
Don't know about that, but
no, probably not. But it does seem quite fast.
Yeah,
there's a number of them over here, like Valencia, Barcelona, and Seville.
Yeah,
all really quick. So,
yeah, nice ones. I guess Hamburg as well. You consider.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of the few of the Aussies were there, and like the times that they were running in Hamburg, pretty quick. But maybe Hamburg's quite quick if you can get an elite start. And you know, there's people who are running that pace. I don't know what like the distribution of running paces is throughout the race.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I know that in Valencia, like there's just groups.
Yeah, yeah.
Just running like every group is like
downhill as well.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Apparently,
that's just like lightning fast. So
yeah,
you could really go in there and try and like jump on a group that's maybe 5 minutes. Like finishing time of 5 minutes quicker than what you've previously done, and you know, it might pay off. So we'll see.
Yeah, very good. Well, anyway, that'll all be to come, and I'm sure everyone's excited to hear about that in the future. But yeah, well done. Glad we got to sit down and do this and have the follow up chat. Glad the marathon went well and we got to do this.
Yeah, me too. Got away with it this time. So yeah, happy days.
Yeah, cool.
Thanks for having me on as well.
No worries. Thanks so much, Dan. Speak soon.
Cool, mate. Cheers.
Bye.